If you felt stuck trying to lose weight, you're not alone. Enter Weight Loss by Hers. It's designed to support you in reaching your goals. And Hers now offers access to an affordable range of FDA-approved GLP-1 medications, including the Wegovy pill and the Wegovy pen. With Wegovy at Hers, lose up to 20% or more of your body weight when combined with diet and exercise. It helps you regulate your appetite, eat less, and keep weight off. Plus, Wegovy is the first GLP-1 available in a pill, so there are no needles needed. Everything is 100% online through Hers. You'll connect with a licensed provider who will determine if treatment is right for you. If prescribed, your medication is delivered right to your door, no insurance necessary. And it doesn't stop there. Weight Loss by Hers goes beyond medication by offering access to 24/7 messaging with your care team and tons of in-app lifestyle and nutrition tips like recipes, meal plans, fitness videos, sleep content, and more. Even better, with a range of affordable GLP-1 options, Hers makes it simple to find an approach that fits your needs and your budget, if eligible. You'll get a treatment plan personalized to you and unlimited dosage changes as needed. It's weight loss designed to work with your life. Ready to reach your goals? Visit forhers.com/women to get personalized, affordable care that gets you. That's forhers.com/women. forhers.com/women. Weight loss by Hers is not available in all 50 states. Wegovy is the registered trademark of Novo Nordisk AS. To get started and learn more, including important safety information, Wegovy clinical study information, and restrictions, visit forhers.com.
Welcome back, guys, to Misunderstood. I'm Rachel Yucatel. So my guest today, I feel like you guys all know her, Renee Graziano. I got to sit down with her, and it was long overdue. We had planned, we talk about it in the episode, but we had planned to sit down a couple months ago, and then she kind of disappeared. And it ended up, if you've seen the news recently, that she admits that she had a near fatal drug overdose in a restaurant. She was hospitalized for about a week. And that really, you know, gave her the eye-opening experience and the rock bottom that we all have heard about to sort of clean up her act. She's moved from Florida to LA. So we didn't get to do it in person this time, but we did finally get together and have this amazing conversation where she's so raw and honest about everything. She's such a huge personality. She's in the news a lot, obviously. We got connected by this mutual friend, and I've always thought she has an amazing story to tell. So for those of you not familiar with Renee, she was, you know, on the show Mob Wives, which was a huge hit. She grew up in New York. She's the daughter to Anthony Graziano, a former consigliere to the Bonanno crime family. Her ex-husband, Hector Pagan Jr., actually became a DEA informant and gave evidence against Renee's father. I mean, talk about like a real life soap opera. Renee has struggled with addiction over the years and been very open and honest about it. And as I said, this past year, she did overdose. And now she is on a new path to sobriety, recovery, and helping others. So I really loved our conversation. So many people these days walk on eggshells worrying about offending someone or talking about their problems with addiction. So she really opens up. She talks honestly. And since getting sober, she has such a positive outlook on life. She's a real mama bear. You can tell how her relationships with her family are her number one priority. She's really led an extraordinary life. And I know you guys are going to go nuts over this one. So please enjoy my conversation with my friend, Renee Graziano. Renee, it's such a pleasure to have you here. I've been trying to get you on the show for a couple months now.
Thank you. Thank you for having me. Pleasure to finally meet.
Yes, I know. So I want to start by saying we did have a time set to meet up maybe 3 months ago here when you were still living in Palm Beach, in the Palm Beach area. And I was so excited we were going to go to dinner and have a great time. But you ended up having a little mishap, where I think is what ended up happening, which I will say is almost great that it happened because you are that much better for what you went through. Do you want to talk to people about what I'm talking about?
Sure, absolutely. So I had a relapse back in September that was unexpected and extremely harsh. But I firmly believe I needed it to happen in order for me to be where I am right now in my life. I've struggled with addiction. I will tell you, probably since I'm a little child, and it was with attention, you know, men, as I grew older, it wasn't drugs until all of those things didn't add up in my life. There was always that empty space inside of me that I couldn't fill no matter what. And I think after my very abusive marriage is really where I went off the deep end, because it was, you know, domestic violence. He's also my abuser. And I say that trying to be as politically correct, but if you could think of every word that comes before abuse, he's my abuser. And I say that because my son is 29 now, and I really don't like to, I feel embarrassed for my son, you know, for him to know that his mother is a sexual assault survivor. So it's rough.
Yeah. So, you know, you bring up your childhood and the fact that it doesn't necessarily start with the drinking and the alcohol. It starts with the toxic relationships or a feeling of not being worthy, of missing something, of aching for some connection almost. I mean, I was on Celebrity Rehab. I was on it for love addiction. I definitely had some, you know, benzos addictions, like, you know, with trying to get to sleep, but I was always filling, you know, I really had a love addiction that stemmed from my childhood, from not, you know, getting that kind of warmth and acceptance and comfort from anyone. And, you know, I'm not blaming anyone because it's something probably innate that you need to figure out how to fill. And when you don't fill that, then eventually it can move to substances. Do you remember the first time that you started with a substance that you were like, oh, okay, this is going to be my thing. This kind of makes me feel better and I'm filling this hole and I can go this direction.
So my addiction, I was never a drinker. Mine, like, just went to cocaine. And I think it's, and I shouldn't say I didn't drink, you know, it was champagne and cocaine. Mm. It was that rich white girl mob lifestyle. But cocaine didn't fill the void. It was just something to stop my brain from thinking about the void. Yeah. And I think after I was sexually assaulted in 2007, I was a patient in a hospital and I was attacked. It was then that the Xanax became, and I was 37 the first time I started comfort of, okay, it doesn't feel bad anymore because I can sleep through it. And if there's 7 days in a week, I could sleep for maybe three and only have to deal with four, I'm good. Yeah. And that's like a really scary thought, but it was my thought process because of the pain being, it was excruciating, and no one in my family but me is an addict. Mm. You know, I'm sure everybody has little addictions, but nobody had a drug addiction aside from me.
Right. Yeah. And it's interesting because it goes many ways. Some families, they can be plagued with addiction in all ways, and some people stay away from it. My father, unfortunately, I don't know if you know this about me, my father died of a cocaine overdose when he was 44 and I was 15. And, you know, so many people talk about him and his addiction and what that looked like, but they rarely talk about the people that are left behind, you know. So you now are a grandmother, a parent. And I would think that part of your recovery every time, I know you've had to do it every time, has when it can't be about you yet, I would think that it becomes about them wanting to get better for them until you can make it about getting better for you. Is that true?
So for me, I was writing a speech last night because I have to speak at an event on Sunday. And it was the first time I actually sat there and I said, if my addiction could have told me that I was going to rob my son of 13 years of his life, I would have heard it. And it was like this moment of, oh, fuck. did I actually do that to the person that I created, to the person God gave me as a gift? And I really had a moment of clarity, and I didn't sleep last night. So it was this terrible feeling of I'm a horrible mother. But then, you know, when my alarm, I fell asleep around maybe 7 this morning and my eyes opened, I was like, no, I'm not. I'm here. I'm getting well. I'm not a horrible mother, because I'm the mother who doesn't quit no matter what. So I think that if, you know, there's a parent out there listening and they're in, you know, have trouble with addiction, first of all, they can always reach out to me. I'll help anyone. But they need to stop, like, the beating yourself up part is what keeps us really sick. Yeah. Because it's that guilt and that shame of I'm not good enough, I'm not pretty enough, I'm not strong enough. And when you come from a family like mine, you're built on strength, you know, right. And you're built on this integrity, kind of like a little weird to have integrity when you're a mob boss. However, you have this integrity, and I was compromising mine because my soul has a hole in it. Like, and that's the only thing I can, like, the related to, it's a hole in the soul. That's what it is. And as close as I am to God, Rachel, when I tell you, since I'm a little child, God has been my best friend, I still have that hole in my soul.
Support for today's episode comes from OneSkin. If you are a fan of the podcast, then you know what a huge fan I am of OneSkin. Over the winter, your skin can get dry and flaky, so it's important to use OneSkin's products to keep your skin healthy, smooth, and hydrated at the cellular level. And now with spring quickly approaching, we need to make sure our skin looks as good as it can so we can show it off. Most skincare products are designed to provide a temporary reduction of visible signs of aging, but OneSkin believes the purpose of skincare isn't just about how we look, it's to actually optimize our skin's biology so it can be more resilient to the aging process. Their products are powered by their scientifically proven peptide called OS1. It reduces the accumulation of damaged aging cells, boosting your skin's natural barrier to lock in moisture and help protect against the elements. For a limited time, our listeners will get an exclusive 15% off OneSkin's products using the code UNDERSTOOD when you check out at oneskin.co. No matter the season, keep your skin looking and feeling healthy with OneSkin. So I will tell you that, you know, I started slow. I started with the eye cream. I started with the face cream. I have now literally every product that they sell. I have the body lotion. I have the travel packs. When I have guests come over, I have every bathroom filled with the lotions and the cleanser that you could use. And I'm not kidding when I say everyone, when they go to leave, ask me how they can order it. I've had people DM me about how it's changed their skin and they cannot wait to order and try different products. So I'm telling you guys, I am a fan of OneSkin. It's worked for me. People have actually asked me what I'm doing differently with my skin. And I'm not going to stop using it. I really do love it. So OneSkin is the world's first skin longevity company. By focusing on the cellular aspects of aging, OneSkin keeps your skin looking and acting younger for longer. Get started today with 15% off using code UNDERSTOOD at oneskin.co. That's 15% off oneskin.co with code UNDERSTOOD. After you purchase, they'll ask you where you heard about them. Please support our show and tell them we sent you. New year, healthier skin. That's OneSkin. Help your skin stay younger and healthier for longer with OneSkin. So many people struggle with their weight and are looking for a solution, whether it's trying a juice cleanse, a new exercise routine, or diet. The truth is, 4 in 10 Americans battle obesity. There are so many fads and health hacks out there. It's hard to know what can work or be sustainable for your lifestyle. It can make you feel out of control. But now with RoBody program, you can take the control back. The RoBody program provides access to the most popular weight loss shots on the market, and paired with a healthy lifestyle change like diet and exercise modifications, you lose 15 to 20% of your weight in a year on average and actually keep it off. Before being prescribed medication, patients need to complete an online medical visit and lab test. Qualifications for medication are based on the patient's BMI, lab results, medical history, and the discretion of a Roe affiliated healthcare provider. If you are determined to make the change, Row Body Program is the best support system you could ask for. They take you through every step from helping with the insurance paperwork, on-demand questions. You can even sign up online. Join over 200,000 people who have already chosen Row to help them. The Row Body Program is ready and waiting for you to take the first step. The average weight loss is 15 to 20% in a year. I'm repeating it because it's a big deal with healthy lifestyle changes, BMI, and other eligibility criteria that apply. So go to row.co/understood. Sign up today and you'll pay just $99 for your first month and $145 a month after that. Medication costs are separate. That's ro.co/understood. Have you, in all the work that you've done, I'm curious if you've come to figure out what that hole was from. Like, what do you feel like would really fill it? Because I think that's a question people struggle with and they don't know if they'll ever figure that answer out.
Well, you know what? My younger sister, Jennifer, you know, 4.0 valedictorian, extremely intelligent. In first grade, she had an eighth grade reading level. In eighth grade, I had an eighth grade reading level. So I think it actually started around maybe in like, I would say maybe six or seven, right? So my older sister used to tell me I was the ugly duckling. So here I'm hearing I'm ugly, and the other side I'm hearing I'm not smart enough. So I think that's exactly where it began. And it wasn't our parents saying you're not smart enough, you know what I mean? It was just like sibling rivalry. Yeah. But because I'm emotionally based and they're logically based, I feel they think. So I think that's what it is. People, and I really do believe that a lot of people with addiction feel as opposed to think. Well, for me, I know that's a fact.
Right. Well, but it's true that there are a lot of chemical imbalances that can create depression and things like that. But I do believe that there are things that happen in your life, excuse me, whether it be as in your childhood or even situations that happen as you get a little older that make you innately feel certain ways. You know, I have never been diagnosed with clinical depression, but I've definitely been treated for depression. I've gone through terrible things that it was obvious that I was depressed about and I had a reason to be, but I still, you know, it's interesting. I'm listening to you talk. I actually don't think about this that much, but in hearing you speak, I do notice there's like a base level of a little bit of sadness there, you know, like a base level of something's missing. And I, you know, I might try and fill it with a relationship, or I might try and fill it with getting really busy or finding some sort of purpose. I can't sit still. So everyone I think deals with an addiction or filling this hole in a different way. So that's what I thought of when you were talking. I want to ask you a couple more questions on addiction because you've been sure. in treatment a number of times. Do you think everyone needs to hit a rock bottom to be able to start their climb up?
Not everybody. Some people can get it. Me, I couldn't get it. What happened to me this last time, there was no lower. The next step under was death.
And you were in the hospital for a while, right?
Yes. I was in the hospital for about a week. Mm-hmm. So from my understanding, because I was actually intubated for a couple of days, I died in a restaurant. My family got a phone call and they said they didn't think I was going to make it, and nobody showed.
That's terrible. That's terrible, Renee.
No, it's not for them. They couldn't.
No, I get it. I mean, it's a terrible position to be in. Yeah. I remember as the outsider, you know, I didn't even know you. We just had been talking on text and hearing that. And I know that I had texted with you a couple of times, and I think it still took you a little bit to want to admit to even your friends. I know you have that couple that you're friends with, that lesbian couple down there that I love. I think they're the greatest. And our other mutual friend, you didn't really want to admit what was happening, obviously, until you got to the point where you needed to.
Yeah, well, it wasn't, I have no problem admitting what I do. Mm-hmm. It was the circumstances surrounding it that involved a very dear friend who sent somebody there. So my initial thought is, he gotta go. That's my initial thought. So for me, I had to seriously think about what I was going to say if it was going to be handled a different way. Yeah. However, I cannot blame anyone for what I do. That person made a mistake and gave me something he should have never given me. Mm-hmm. But it really started with me making the phone call. Yeah. So I was stuck between a rock and a hard place, and I was being pressured to press charges. And I'm not pressing charges. I'll pin you up against a wall or have somebody do it for me, but I'm not pressing charges. So that's what it was. I'm not embarrassed. I'm a human being that goes through things differently than the next person. Is my family embarrassed? Absolutely. There be my parents, rest my father's soul, but my mother is like traumatized for me. And again, like I was saying, writing my speech last night, I had to sit there and think, what can I say to somebody else to make them realize what they're doing to their mother, their sisters, their brothers, their nieces, their nephews, their child? Yeah. And the only thing I can come up with at the end of the day is if my addiction would have told me that I was robbing people of their happiness and peace, I would have fought harder. Right. And that's really what it's about. If you're not going to fight, then you just lay down already. Because I had someone that's very close, like a brother, commit suicide in October. And it took me by surprise because this man had always been such a great protector, like a brother, literally like a brother. So the disease started to now grow inside of my head. And like, okay, maybe it's my time. But I'm not a quitter. You know what I mean? I fight. Yeah. So it was that one second that I said, hey, first of all, I'm Catholic on top of it. So in my brain, I'm going to hell if I commit suicide. This is what I think. But I forget to remember, well, if you do drugs, it's a sin too, you know? Yeah. But whatever it was that got me where I am today, and today is I am 1 week shy of 4 months.
Amazing.
Thank you.
If you felt stuck trying to lose weight, you're not alone. Enter Weight Loss by Hers. It's designed to support you in reaching your goals. And Hers now offers access to an affordable range of FDA-approved GLP-1 medications, including the Wegovy pill and the Wegovy pen. With Wegovy at Hers, lose up to 20% or more of your body weight when combined with diet and exercise. It helps you regulate your appetite, eat less, and keep weight off. Plus, Wegovy is the first GLP-1 available in a pill, so there are no needles needed. Everything is 100% online through Hers. You'll connect with a licensed provider who will determine if treatment is right for you. If prescribed, your medication is delivered right to your door, no insurance necessary. And it doesn't stop there. Weight Loss by Hers goes beyond medication by offering access to 24/7 messaging with your care team and tons of in-app lifestyle and nutrition tips like recipes, meal plans, fitness videos, sleep content, and more. Even better, with a range of affordable GLP-1 options, Hers makes it simple to find an approach that fits your needs and your budget, if eligible. You'll get a treatment plan personalized to you and unlimited dosage changes as needed. It's weight loss designed to work with your life. Ready to reach your goals? Visit forhers.com/women to get personalized, affordable care that gets you. That's forhers.com/women. forhers.com/women. Weight loss by Hers is not available in all 50 states. Wegovy is the registered trademark of Novo Nordisk AS. To get started and learn more, including important safety information, Wegovy clinical study information, and restrictions, visit forhers.com.
Thank you.
And I know there was a little bit of a sidestepping and some paths, but you ended up with Lamar Odom at his treatment facility, correct? And what I found interesting from what I read is that you're doing trauma therapy there, right? Which is different than just addiction therapy and the steps and all that. What's different about doing this trauma therapy there?
Okay. So some people that are listening will say I'm wrong in what I'm saying, but this is how I can do it. I'm not a drug addict before I'm a depressed person. You know what I mean? That's my addiction first. Right. So for me, I had to go and really take a deep dive and look at what it is that I self-medicate over. Mm-hmm. So when I thought about it, you know, having relatives and speaking from a mob perspective, who's dead, who's murdered, who's in a trunk, who's being blown up. And this is not like make-believe world. This is real world for me. An ex-husband who, you know, is now a confessed murderer, like all of that stuff, the domestic violence, the rape, the abuse. I had to look at like everything. Yeah. And I'm like, oh shit. Okay. Now it makes sense why I self-medicate.
Right.
Who the fuck wouldn't self-medicate when their uncle's been blown up? Who's found in a trunk? You know, and I didn't realize that was trauma for me because it was normal. It was normal to wear black every damn day of the week for a month straight while there's a huge mob war going on and my friends are being murdered. Right. So for me, I had to really look at all of it and face the facts that one, another thing for me that popped up was my age.
Yeah.
Like I'm 24 and I'm single. I have had no successful relationships after my ex-husband because of what I hold on to. And I think that that's another real reason for my loneliness is because I push you out because you can't, I'm not going to let you hurt me. No, right. My father died it'll be 5 years in May. And that really was the demise. Like that was the like landslide. I wanted to be with my father, and it's so selfish to say as a parent, but it was my truth. Like I miss him terribly on an everyday basis, but I'm a grandmother of four children, you know, four grandbabies, mm-hmm. and my son needs me.
Yeah. That's so emotional. I just want to say, you know, that really resonates with me too, because I'm 49, as I said, struggle with relationships, but I lost the two people that were supposed to love you unconditionally as you grow up, my father. And then I was engaged to somebody who was killed in the World Trade Center. And that was terrible for a young girl. And I haven't been able to like get my footing to figure out how to have a trusting real relationship because I'm convinced they'll leave or something tragic will happen. Or so I tend to leave first, or whatever. I sabotage it, whether I mean to or not. I would love to be in a relationship. It just hasn't worked out yet. So maybe I need some trauma therapy with Lamar.
But it will, because you know what I'm finding now is it's God that's leading. Like mm-hmm. when we continue to lead, we're going to get the same results. But if that's true. You know, I've never been one to be patient. You know, I have that. My sister Jennifer says I have that sense of entitlement. Mm-hmm. However, now I'm finding out I'm a lot more humble than I used to be. A lot more. Because when your child stops talking to you for a good 6 months, and then he ultimately, when I had made that phone call and I said, AJ, I don't know if you're ever going to see me again, but I want you to know. And he was like, Mom, hold on, Mom. And he had made the phone call for me. So
right.
Let God lead.
Okay. Good advice. So you brought up your childhood a lot. I think people are interested to know because you kind of came on the scene to a lot of people that watched your show, Mob Wives, as this bold, brash, opinionated woman that kind of came out of nowhere. And it was such a hit show at the time. But I'm really curious who you were as a kid growing up in that lifestyle. And I'm not talking about up until the show, but like a little kid, like what did you like to do? What was your life like? You know, we all have seen like the Bronx Tale or something, you know, and you, so like, what was it like for you?
I had ants in my pants from like the second I came out. I was, you know, forever dancing on coffee tables. My mother told me. She knew from when I was three, she said, Renee, you're going to be on TV. And it was just, I always wanted to put on a show. And I, like I said, my addiction started with attention. So it started back then. And I was forever throwing like shows out of the garage. I was always doing something. You know, I loved to swim. I loved the beach, the monkey bars. I was just a normal kid, but very hyperactive. So, you know, ADD, ADHD. So I had trouble in school. I was bullied terribly.
For what?
By two girls. I swear on everything holy. Michelle Miano and Danielle Jabor. I'll never forget them. They
are they still alive? Just kidding.
Yeah, they're not in as good shape as I'm in. So they would always, you know, I had really big boobs. Like in fourth grade, I was like a B already, you know? So the boys always liked to hug me and they were jealous. So they would say how ugly I was and this and that. And I really took that on as part of my persona as an ugly child. So therefore I have to do all these things. Looking back, it was a complete lie. Like they only told me that because I received the attention they didn't get. And you know, it's sad because the girl, Michelle, her father was actually found in the back of a car. So when I think about all these things, I realized she had problems as a child as well. So the hate that I had for her had disappeared over the years. And I learned a little bit more about myself and being a very loving and compassionate kid. Right. But I can also tell you, I remember my first boy-girl party. And I got there and she invited me and then made me go home.
What?
Yeah, she was such a bitch.
Oh, Renee.
Bitch, I autographed the first copy of my book when I had my picture on the back and I was like, this one's for you, babe.
God, that's so funny. Isn't that great when you get to get back at them later
on? Oh, my God.
By being successful.
Exactly.
Not by putting them in the cement. That's not what I meant.
And beautiful. Yes.
Yeah. So what were your aspirations growing up? It sounds like you wanted to be an actress or you wanted to be in front of the camera. Was that what you wanted to do?
I wanted to be, Lucille Ball and Carol Burnett with a twist of Blondie and Joan Jett. Yeah. And a whole lot of Diane Carroll. But my mother told me, Renee, you can't be Diane Carroll. I was like, but why? I don't understand.
So did you know who your dad was or what your dad was when you were growing up?
No, I didn't figure it all out until I was about maybe 16. And someone had said to me, oh, that's TG's daughter. And they said, oh yeah, father's a captain. I go, my father doesn't drive a boat. And my friend looked at me and he was like, shh. And I was like, he doesn't sail a ship. And I was serious. And I went home and I was crying. I was like, Dad, is that why you're always on the road? And he was like, oh my God, sit down, Renee.
Oh, you know. Wow.
It wasn't like a lot of kids learn about birds and bees. And I learned about captains and soldiers. You know what I mean? So when Mob Wives did come about for me, that was, oh, okay. I found my niche. Yeah. I can talk about where I come from and make people understand the little bit of the crazy that's in Renee, as well as all the love that's in Renee. And I think that, I think I was a beautiful disaster. You know, and I'm fine with it. I'm fine with it because I'm a real person. I didn't have to pretend like a few other girls that were on. I'm not pretend for what? My nose is fake. That's about it on me. You know what I mean? Like, that's how I feel about it. I'm always going to be as true as I possibly can.
Yeah.
And you said that even with my addiction, you know, so. Yeah.
It's very clear that you were very close with your father. I'm curious if there's one antidote that you have that you got from him, either a saying or a lesson that you really feel like he taught you growing up.
Yes. He always said, Renee, remain humble because God give it and God take it.
Wow.
And my father, when I tell you, I don't care what anybody in that street has to say, my father was a very good man. He saved a girl drowning in Prospect Park. He ran into a burning building and saved the family. He clothed, he buried my girlfriend's mom. He paid for everything. My father was an incredible human. Okay, granted his job was what it was, but I didn't know my father in the street. I knew my father in the house.
As a man, yeah.
to be this man that was never going to let anything happen to his children. And, you know, I also found out when my father passed away that his sisters were sexually assaulted by his mother's boyfriend. So it started to make more sense to me why my father was so, cover your arms. Like, why would be like, Dad, it's like bathing suit weather. He's like, get in the house. You know, and my father's one of 11 and had eight sisters. So, you know, a lot more starts to make sense as you grow, you know, and I loved him. Like, to me, he was my superhero on earth, you know, and I hid a lot of things from him with my domestic violence, because again, I was afraid of the repercussions and I thought it would be my sin if this man disappeared. Yeah. However, I will say this. I wish I would have told my father. And I stand on that. And I don't care who listens to me. I stand on it. Because a man that does that to a woman should not be able to breathe.
Right. Well, I understand that. The only exception is that, you know, there are men that abuse women. You, in your circumstance with your ex-husband, let's say, at least he has a relationship with his children, which, I mean, if that's a good thing for children to have a father.
My ex-husband, he's not allowed around my family.
Really? Okay.
He should burn in hell. Like, okay. I kid you not when I say that. Like, I wish he would already. Like, right. He has blood cancer. I'm like, you can't die, you son of a bitch. Like, I'm sorry. But I can say that. This man abused me in every way, shape, or form.
Right.
This man cooperated with the government and put my father in prison. This man had my son had his head cracked open. So guess what? I wish you would go already. You don't belong above ground. I get that question a lot. Like, how do I feel about it now that he's home? He came home like 2 years ago and started threatening to murder me again. Like, dude, could you give it up already? Leave me alone.
Yeah. Just, all right. Well, that's terrible. I didn't realize that part of it.
Oh, yeah. He just did an interview, Rachel, talking about how he left me all this money. You left me crumbs. You didn't leave me money. You took my money. You took my dignity, the respect I had. Like, there's a lot that follows up with that. And again, it goes back to my, you know, addiction. You know, it's like this man who I know for a fact is a confessed murderer, right? Mm-hmm. So when you think about it, you have to weigh it out. Could he do it? Obviously, he did it before. So it could come back to haunt me. So those things stay in my head. And when you're a feeler, you know, like I can sense danger. I don't know, you know, I think more women can than men, but we could sense it. So when I'm walking by myself, like I'm always, you know, left and right. So it's not a very comfortable feeling. However, I believe that my father watches every step I take every day. So, you know.
Right. All right. So let's move on to talking about how mob wives came to play. I know that your sister was one of the executive producers and got it off the ground. Can you talk about how you first found out about it and what it was like to be on a show like that?
Okay. So Jennifer is the creator and the EP on it. Mm-hmm. So she was writing a scripted series, and then she realized, why would I do a scripted series when I have this cast right in front of me? So she's like, hey, Renee, I need some friends of yours. And I'm like, okay, can I be on the show? And she's like, no. I'm like, can I please be on the show? And she's like, no. I'm like, well, can I do wardrobe? She's like, I don't think so. And she did that to me up until like 3 days before the meeting. And she said that was payback for me driving her crazy all of her life. However, I remember when we filmed the sizzle reel, and it was just, it was pure gold. It was just like, here, you know, it was like, take this and run with it, because there was never anything done from a female's perspective on that level. Aside from when Susan Lucci did that, like mob daughter movie, it's like so many years ago. Mm-hmm. So I was stoked for it. And I knew this was like a, a female godfather type of, like, I knew it. And look at it today. It's still happening.
Yeah. It's streaming now, correct? Like people can get it. Yeah. Yes. And what's interesting, I think, about it is it's, you guys really didn't have to be told what to do. It was your life just on camera.
Correct. Correct. Yeah. I mean, there were things that we had to be careful with certain wording. I always stuck my foot in my mouth forever being in trouble. But like you had said earlier, I think for me, I was the realest. Me and Karen, I think, had the most to really deal with in the public eye. You know, her father had done what he did, and then my ex-husband did what he did. So there was no, we were like a perfect marriage, Karen and I. Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah.
And did you know everyone that was on the show, or was anyone cast?
So Carla and I knew each other from when we were 16. Ramona, Karen, Jennifer, and Drita were friends all of their lives. Big Ange is family to me. Alicia that came on the show was married to Eddie Garofalo, who was a childhood friend. Natalie, Brittany, and Marissa, those four, I had met later on.
Right.
Yeah. Oh, and then there was love for that season. We all, like, the Staten Island group all knew each other. We grew up together. And then the other girls that were added from Philly, with the exception of Alicia, were all straight to the show.
And what was that like, all that fame out of nowhere?
It wasn't very different than my childhood. Like, the feds were always on the block taking pictures, so that's not different. However, you know, to be accepted was different, you know. I mean, I thought I dealt with it pretty well. I wish I would have saved a lot of the money, I could tell you that much. Yeah, I was more of one of, oh, let me buy everything for everybody, right, except me. Yeah, that was me. Fame is overrated. Fame comes at a price. We know this. Mm-hmm. And it travels you. Your negative fame is forever the first thing that comes up. So
yeah,
you know, it teeter now for me on the other side.
Also, I want to ask you, because I had Dr. Michael Fiorello on my show, and I know he played a really important role in your life. How did he come into your life?
So I had plastic surgery gone terribly wrong. My ex-husband would always say, you're fat, you're ugly, you have no ass, you're this, you're that. So we own strip clubs. So that's where that thought started in my head. And then I had gotten MRSA through my whole body from the surgery, from what the doctor did wrong. And Dr. Fiorello came in, and he literally saved my life. Wow. Like, I had a nurse three times a day to come change my bandages. I was also vancomycin resistant. So I was read my last rites twice. I was dying. Like, the priest had come in and had said to my mom, like, you know, I'm going to read her last rites. The doctor had said, I'm sorry, that I wasn't going to make it. And to this day, they said I defied medical. They can't even understand it. I had like three emergency surgeries, keep scooping it out and scooping it out and scooping it out, ate all the way back to my spine. Dr. Fiorello is a phenomenal, phenomenal doctor, and I am so grateful for him. So very grateful.
Yeah. And an even better man. He's a really good guy.
Yeah, he is.
Yeah. Okay. I want to talk about some other experiences. What was it like being on Celebrity Big Brother? Because people try to stay under the radar on that show. I'm sure that was really hard for you.
It was terrible. First of all, you put me in a house with a bunch of strangers, and we were like me more than Aubrey and Frankie. It's this whole this mob persona that they just kept attacking, 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 and you couldn't threaten anybody and you couldn't hit nobody. So what happens is the kid Stephen Bear has, he had tackled Aubrey. And Aubrey was dating Paulie D. And I remember Paulie had called me and said, could you do me a favor, look out for Aubrey? I said, I got you, no worries. So as they're rolling on the floor, I take a chunk out of his leg. I'm like, fuck him. Excuse me. Like, he's got her in a headlock with his legs. I'm like, what are you doing? That was one. Then they were like, Renee, you can't do anything. I'm like, I want a psychiatrist every day. If I have to go through this cycle babble bullshit, you're bringing a doctor in here. Because what this kid would do, they would ration your food. So he would break all the eggs, spill out my olive oil, and get rid of my garlic. So now you're talking about three things I need to cook with to survive for the week. So, you know, like, you only have a certain amount of money. What are you going to do with this money? I'm like, I'm Italian. Pasta, everything. Pasta with peas. Pasta with chichi. Pasta this. Pasta that. So every time he would do that, I would lose my shit. And finally, he said something like, so the word, the C word is like how we say jerk off over here. So he called me that. And I was like, they'll find you and your mother in the fucking trunk. Do you understand me? Do you understand me? They were like, Renee to the green room.
So you were always getting in trouble.
Yeah, and I don't care. I don't care, right? Because you talk to me any type of way. I don't care about your rules. Your rules are not going to stop me from respecting myself. And I think that has a lot to do with everything in life. Like, people make up these rules and we're supposed to abide by them. So it's okay. You smack me? No, I don't think so. It's okay. You curse at me? No, hold on a minute. Cause you will be in a trunk. It's that simple.
Yeah. You've talked openly about, you know, coming back from near death experiences a couple times. I know from hearing you talk, you feel like you're here now with a mission to help other people because people have helped you. I want to talk a little bit more about that because I know you have a lot of projects coming up and you're also, really on this path to wanting to be available for people. Can you talk more about that?
Sure. So I actually just took a job 2 days ago working for Vanity Wellness here in California, doing business development and trying to connect with more people to help them heal. And for me, this is probably like the first, not the first real job, but like my second real job, like that's something I want to do, you know? And I just want to help people because I know what it feels like, you know, and like the conversation you and I just had, like, it's relatable. Doesn't matter if you're there, here, where, it's relatable. Emptiness inside of a soul. You know, if there's ways that I can help somebody fill it, with self-love, then I most definitely would, love to do that. Oh, I'm sorry. I don't know what just happened. Okay. Yeah, I just want
to, and also I think it's important for people to remember that sometimes they can't talk to their best friend, their partner, their spouse, their parent, their child. They need someone who is completely separate from their true lives that they can be open and honest with, because it's so hard to talk to people that are right there on top of them. You know, they need that breather to be able to talk to someone like you that's been through it, that knows what it's about, that has no judgment, that's really there to just hear and listen. And I think that's a really important, you know, position to be in. It's a powerful position for you to be in too.
I spoke at an all men's meeting. They were young guys last week, and three of the kids came up to me and asked me if I could help their moms. I was devastated for them. Yeah. You know, I'm watching young kids in addiction because of, you know, when you're around it, it's pretty much going to happen. My son doesn't drink or drug. God did such a miracle with my child. However, when I heard those kids, like, can you call my mom? Do you think you can help my mom? My heart broke for them because I was actually seeing my son on the other side, you know? Yeah. And it is a powerful position. And I think that God put me in the best place possible for me to do what I love to do. And that's just, you know, I love people. I don't know what that is with me. Not every person, but like for the most part. And all of a sudden now I really like have this love for women where I never did before because women were always my enemy. Mm-hmm. So now I'm seeing it as like, if if we could just like stand together, I don't care what walk of life, religion, race, all that nonsense. Like, we are so powerful as women. We put men to shame. I'm sorry. We truly do, for the simple reason we have love. And I think when you're building a family, and I mean that by friendship or in, you know, your actual family, women are the key to everything. So I'm very grateful that God gave me the position he did.
Yeah. Do you think you would ever do reality TV again?
Absolutely. I'm already up for it. I'm up for about 4 shows right now.
Good. But like shows that are about you and your life, or stuff like Villains or Traitors, or, you know, stuff
like that. I'm up for Villains, Traitors, a plastic surgery show. And then I'm developing something.
Okay, great. So I was going to ask you about the state of reality TV now. What are you watching? What do you love right now?
I am glued to Housewives. I binge watch everything. Erica Jane is one of my favorite people. I think she is the epitome of a strong woman. Watching her go through what she did with her ex-husband for me was very relatable. And then watching her get attacked made me very angry, because how are you going to hold her responsible for what he did? It doesn't work like that. Like, Not many men come home and tell their wife, hey, guess what? I robbed all the funds today. Not at all, you know? So I absolutely love her. I'm watching now Kyle Richards, and I'm so here for her and the Morgan Wade thing. I'm like, please just say it already.
I know. I still don't understand why they haven't said it. Are they a thing? Is she a late in life lesbian? Like, what do you think is going on there?
I don't know. I mean, what it looks like to me is that she found some sort of happiness in another person. And at the end of the day, I now view it as it doesn't really mess. It doesn't bother me with women. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, well, I'm good. I support everybody. And if she's happy, she's happy. Who cares? Like, everybody.
It's interesting because it doesn't even have to be, everyone's just labeling it as this lesbian thing. It doesn't actually have to be sexual. I think when you find someone that really gets you and becomes such a close friend, that is so important. And it's so hard to find that. So, yeah. I mean, take the sexual piece out. I mean, whether or not she just found someone that she can really trust and that she loves being around, you know, power to her, you know, whatever.
Absolutely. There's that. You could have a soulmate as your best friend.
Yeah.
Like, there's nothing like a best friend in the world that you could call up at any time. My best girlfriend, we're friends since we're in third grade. She can actually, if she might not speak to me for a month, and she'll get a feeling if something's wrong on it, she'll be like, you good? I'll be like, oh shit, you don't know what happened today. And she'll know it. It's like when you're in sync with another human that you just love with no sex. Like, that's my best friend all my life. You know what I mean?
Have you been watching Love is Blind?
No, what is that?
Oh my God, Renee, you have to watch it. It's about people that fall in love through a wall, and then they get proposed to, and then they have to see if they will go through with the wedding.
Okay.
Fucking phenomenal. I'm dying to be on that show.
Okay, me and you got to do that.
That or Traitors. We would have fun on Traitors.
Ooh, okay. I'm pitching that one to Jennifer later.
Okay, couple quick fire questions, and then we'll wrap it up. Okay, what do you think is the most misunderstood thing about you?
That I'm just a drug addict.
Okay. What's your favorite movie about the mob?
Goodfellas.
Okay. What is a perfect day for you?
Disney with my grandkids.
Oh, cute. Okay. What do you never leave home without?
My phone.
Okay. For me, it would be lip gloss. What is your bucket list place to visit?
Sicily.
First celebrity crush when you were a kid?
Michael Irving.
Oh my God. That's a good one. Okay. Has a celebrity... Say that again?
My father hit me on the top of the head with the phone over that one.
Has a celebrity ever recognized you or slid into your DMs to say they were a fan?
Absolutely.
Are you going to tell us who?
Oh, no, I don't tell.
Okay.
Like the tattoo says, shh.
I love that. Okay. What are you looking for in a man?
Stability.
Good answer. Who should play you in the movie of your life?
Young version, old version?
Either one. Somebody you're dying to be you.
Wait, I got to think, actually. I don't know.
We can come back to that one. Okay. Are there one or two moments that you think really shaped your life? I mean, I'm sure there's a bunch of them, but something that really stands out to you that made you who you are.
My appearance on The View and, Tina Fey, actually, I worked for Tina Fey and we happened to be on The View the same day. And when I worked for her, she would say, you're going to be famous one day, Renee. I'd be like, oh, cut it out, Tina. Like, what do you need to lose? Weight, diet pill, water pill, let's go. And the day I showed up on The View, she was opposite dressing room. And she walked out on that stage and did like a thing about Renee. And that was my moment of, I'm fucking here to stay. That was it. Yes. Yes.
God, I love that answer.
I love Raina Sofa. Do you remember her from General Hospital? She could be a Renee.
Okay. I agree. That's a good one. Yeah. Okay, anything else that you want to promote? Everyone should go and do that app. Right?
Yeah. So it's the Drop Me In AI app, and it makes you look like a mob wife by Renee Graziano. Mm. So it's fun. It's just fun to see. Like, I would never not have a shirt on under my fur. So right. I got sexy pictures. I enjoyed working with the team, and both my sister Jennifer and I are on that project. So
love that. Okay.
Yeah.
And anything else, if people want to know what to expect out of you in the next upcoming year, what's going on with you?
What to expect? I would like to throw my son a really big wedding because he didn't have one. So I know that right now it's just really, it's about family for me. And it's about building bridges. The ones that I burnt, I have new bridges to build. Yes.
I love that answer. And what about the Fairy Mob Mother? Is that?
Ooh. So I filmed it. And after I filmed it, that's how I relapsed.
Got it. Okay.
It was a little too deep for me to talk about those type of things. I wasn't healed. We thought I was in a better space, but it dredged up a lot of the abuse again. So it wasn't, it's not the right project for me.
Got it. I love the concept of it. So maybe one day it'll be
absolutely
a version of it. We'll be back there. Yes. Okay. Where can people find you if they want to reach out to you for more help or follow the rest of your story?
Well, they can follow me right on Instagram and it's at Renee Graziano and everything else is listed there. My TikTok is the real Renee Graziano and anybody at all that needs help is definitely welcome to reach out to me.
Perfect. Renee, thank you so much. I wish you the best. I'm so happy that we are in touch now and we are going to have that dinner soon that we are long overdue for.
Yes, we are.
Okay. Thank you. I appreciate you.
You too.
Thank you so much for listening to Misunderstood. I'm your host, Rachel Yucatel. Please be sure to subscribe to the show and give us a 5-star rating and review. You can support the show by joining our Patreon at patreon.com/misunderstood with Rachel Yucatel. Do you have ideas for the show or want to reach out? Email us at info@misunderstoodpodcast@gmail.com. That's spelled MISS understood. Thank you so much, and I'll see you next time.